Well, I'm so thankful for the congregation that's here today. Appreciate each one of you. My prayer that the Lord's blessing would be upon everybody that's here today. We are alive and we're here today because the Lord, He cares about us. He cares about you. He wants to speak to our hearts. He wants the best that life has to afford for everybody that's here today. And that's my prayer, that the Lord would bless you in a special way. I value being able to share the gospel. The gospel has hope associated with it. Everywhere in the gospel, there's hope. Even when the gospel touches us in close places, the Lord always shows us a way out. Whenever you feel down and depressed and convicted and there's no way out, it seems, that's usually the enemy. The Lord's always faithful to say, here's where you need help and here's a way out. And I'm thankful for the fact that the gospel has hope associated with it always. The message that I feel burdened with today, it's a serious message, and my desire is that you would be encouraged by it, though, too. So I would really desire an interest in your prayers for me this morning in this message. I'd like to read 5 verses out of the 15th chapter of Mark. In the 15th chapter of Mark, in the first verse, it says, "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and carried Him away and delivered Him to Pilate. And Pilate asked Him, 'Art thou the King of the Jews?' And He answering said unto him, 'Thou sayest it.' And the chief priest accused Him of many things, but He answered nothing. And Pilate asked Him again, saying, 'Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee.' But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled." And in the Gospel of Matthew, it said that he marveled greatly. I want to say this morning that I don't want Jesus ever to go quiet on me because of His displeasure. I don't want Him to ever, forever go quiet on me because of His displeasure with me. But I want to feel His look. I want to experience His whisper of approval. I want to experience the stirring of the Holy Spirit in my life as He talks to me in life. And I want to know what it means to feel the chastisement of the Lord in my life. Because the Scripture says, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." But I don't ever want to get myself in the place that Pilate was in, where this kind of quietness from the Lord is visited upon me. That's not what I want. Pilate marveled here because Jesus didn't say anything, but he didn't marvel enough to change the course of action that he was going to take. He marveled about Jesus, but it wasn't enough, because Pilate already had in his heart he already knew the course that he was going to take. It was already set. Pilate was giving too much room to other voices, and he was giving too much room to other things that were temporal in nature. And while he was interested in continuing to talk with the Lord, he didn't marvel enough to change the course of his life. And so Jesus, in the end here, he said nothing to Pilate. I'd like to notice what Jesus initially said. Pilate asked Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And I don't think it was just a rhetorical question. I think Pilate, there were stirrings going on within Pilate's heart. Wasn't it his wife that said, "Don't have anything to do with this man today. I've been disturbed in my dreams about this man today. Just don't have anything to do with him." I believe Pilate, the Lord had Pilate's full attention, I believe. And Pilate said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And You know, if the Lord would have said, yes, I'm the King of the Jews, and Pilate would have embraced the fact that Jesus, in fact, was the King of the Jews, shouldn't that affect how Pilate would have responded to Jesus? I mean, if you're the King of something, the King of the Jews, it seemed like it would have caused him to tread maybe a little bit carefully, and I think that he was distressed. But again, it didn't seem to matter so much what Jesus was going to say. So Pilate asks the question, but Jesus' first response was, "Thou sayest it." Did you know that the Scripture tells us in Jeremiah that it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps? And there's another place that said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of life, happiness, joy. Is that what it said? No, it says death. But it seemed right unto man. There's a way that, well, it seems right to me. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, you remember when that glorious thing happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there was so much that could have been said by Peter, James, and John, and Peter took a stab at it. But when all was said and done, the voice of the Lord came out of the air and it said, "This is my Son, hear Him." Yes. We need to hear the voice of the Lord this morning. We are desperate to hear the voice of the Lord today. Amen. Regardless if it goes against what my thinking is, I need to hear the voice of the Lord, because the way that I think, if it is not directed by the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to end in not a good situation. Have you ever had somebody come and ask you for help with something? I've been there before. They come up and they say, "Rod, I need help. Can you help me with this situation? Or what do you think about this situation?" But then, before you have a chance to help or say anything, they very energetically tell you how it is for a long time. And when they get all done, you get to the end of it and you're scratching your head and you're thinking, "Did they just ask me a question? Was that a question, or am I supposed to respond to that?" You know, those folks are sometimes hard to help. Sometimes we need so much help. And there's something that in us that we feel like we need help, and we ask the question, but then we give the answer. And we're so set in the way that we think that sometimes there's not a lot better answer to give than what Jesus said. "Well, thou sayest." I mean, it sounds like you have it all figured out. "Thou sayest." See, Jesus had already spent several years preaching the gospel. Jesus had spent years healing the ones that were sick and raising the lame and opening the eyes of the blind. And He had raised those that were dead. And He was preaching a gospel that reached to the hearts of those that were in need. And the Lord even made special visitations to those that you would think the Lord would maybe put at the end of the line, like the woman at the well. And He had a really neat little discussion with her and let her in on a little secret before everyone else and said, "Hey, by the way, I'm the Messiah. I am the Messiah." The one that everybody had been looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And yet Jesus chose the woman at the well that was thirsty, that needed something. Yeah. Jesus wanted to give her something. And forever in her life, after it all came out, Jesus resurrected from the dead, she could say, "Hey, you know the man, Jesus Christ, He spoke to me the other day, and He told me all about this before He told everybody else." You know, that's just the way Jesus is. He cares about us. He had spent several years bringing the gospel, the hope of the gospel. He had done all these things that no other man had ever done. He was the one that spoke like no other man. Do you remember when the scribes and the Pharisees, they said, go bring Jesus to us. Bring Him over to us. And so they went to bring Jesus. And the only problem was when they got there and they started listening to Him, oh, they were struck in their hearts. And they went back without Jesus. And they said, where is He? And they said, never a man spake like this man. He's like somebody we've never seen before. Remember Nicodemus? He was with that group. Never a man spake like this man. This was Jesus Christ. He had spent so much time demonstrating not only His great innocence, but His love to the world. The truth had already been preached. It had been presented. It had been represented. The problem was is that there were just a whole lot of people who they didn't want to receive the truth. Even though it was truth, they weren't willing to receive the truth all the way. Some of them believed to a degree, but they weren't willing to just take it in. His disciples were some of them. Remember, many of the disciples turned away from Jesus. Remember that? And I don't think it was because they said, well, we don't love Him anymore. We don't care about Him anymore. We're just not interested anymore. I don't think that's what it was. But they got to the place where they just said, well, that's a hard saying. If we're to be your disciple, we have to become like who you are and eat of your flesh and drink of your blood. Well, it's a hard saying, and the Scripture says that they went and they walked with Him no more. There were some people like that, and then there were others that while they didn't believe, they had a hard time coming out and saying, well, I just really don't believe in that. I don't believe into it enough to go that way. In fact, Jesus had a parable that He told about the man that He says, will you go and work for Me? And the man said, yeah, I'll go work for you. But then He said the man didn't go work for Him. Remember that?
Yeah.
Do you know that the Christian world is full of people like that? Many people come to church on Sunday and they want to be part of Christianity. They want to meet the Lord in peace. But then when Monday comes, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, they don't live their lives that demonstrate that they're believing into the gospel. There's a lot of people like that in the world today. In this instance, there were those that simply wanted to kill Jesus. Pilate, however, it seemed that he wanted to keep asking Jesus questions because I don't think Pilate was comfortable with the whole situation. Do you?
No.
Pilate wasn't comfortable with what was going on. And it seemed like that Pilate wanted to try to find an answer, a solution that could accommodate both of them. Don't you think that's where Pilate was?
Yes.
Jesus, isn't there some way we could... And it was almost like he was stalling for time. Is there a way that we can come up with a solution where I can have my way and you can have your way and you don't have to die this kind of death? But the problem was that Pilate had allowed himself, he had allowed himself too much, given too much to things that were not of Christ. They were temporal in nature.
Yeah.
The Lord doesn't want us to be in that space. He wants us to give Him lots of space. The Lord wants us to come to Him hungry and thirsty with capacity to receive what He has to give. Because if we fill up on everything else in this world, then when we come to church, we don't have room to receive what God wants to give to us. And Pilate, he was full of who he was and his position and what the king was, Herod was going to think about him. And so he was in this not a good place before the Lord. And so it looked like he kept looking for a way out. And I wonder sometimes, do we ever keep asking the Lord questions, trying to find a way around truth that's already been taught to us? That we know. The truth's been presented.
I'm aware of the Scriptures. It's clear to, you know, it's clear, but, and yet it crosses where I am, and so I keep coming to the Lord over and over trying to figure out if there's a different way around it. You know, sometimes people, they pray about getting the will of the Lord on things that the Lord's already told you what His will is. We can spend too much time praying for the will of the Lord when the Bible's already told us what the will of the Lord is. I don't have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm looking to understand Your will. Do You care if I steal from my brother? I want to know what You think about that, Lord. He's already told us what He thinks about stealing.
Yeah.
I don't need to go to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what do You think about adultery? Are You okay with this? And I don't need to ask Him about how to treat my enemies. And I don't need to ask the Lord really so much, Lord, would You be pleased with me attending service? There's things that are already written in the Scriptures that outline what the will of the Lord is. We don't have to go continue to pray about things that the Lord's already told us real clearly. I'm not saying that we should stop praying this morning. What I am saying is that the Lord wants us to exercise intellectual honesty with ourselves and with Him.
Yeah.
And when the Word of the Lord teaches us something, He wants us to say, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
In Isaiah, the Scripture said, if ye be willing and obedient, and it matches what you want to do, and it's consistent with the direction that you've decided you want to take, and it's comfortable, then you'll eat the good of the land. Is that Isaiah? Is that what it says? That's not what it says. That would be false doctrine. That's not what it says. It says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land.
Right.
If ye be willing and obedient, that Lord, what is Your will? Lord, what would You have me to do? Lord, what is it that You want to say to me? Lord, are You King of the Jews? Lord, help me understand how You want to be King in my life. Lord, I need help. Lord, I need leadership. Lord, I need a father. Lord, I need a protector. Lord, I need somebody to show me the way that sees the way more clearly than I do, because I recognize that without You, Lord, I'm going to go astray. Lord, I need You to help put a light in the midst of the darkness of this world that we live in. That's where the Lord wants us to be. If you be willing and obedient to the King, to God the Father, even if it doesn't make sense to you, even if it crosses the path that you would like to take, the Lord doesn't want us to have to be in anguish praying for the will of things that He's kind of already outlined here.
Yeah.
Well, Pilate asked a question that at this point Jesus chose not to answer. And so He merely said, Thou sayest. And do you think there's ever times in our own lives where we go to the Lord with things, and His response to us is, Thou sayest. I've tried. I've preached. You've heard the gospel. You've gone to church for years. I was faithful to You with my Holy Spirit, but you're going Your own way. And I wonder if sometimes in places that we just don't really want to move up in, and then we go to the Lord and say, Lord, what about this? If He just says, Thou sayest. What we do, how we spend our time, where we go, how we present ourselves to the world. Maybe pride, selfishness. There's so many things that are such personal nature that sometimes the Lord comes and He deals with our hearts, and He just wants us to say, yes, Lord. In one place in the Scripture, there was someone that wasn't right about something, and Jesus said to him, He said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had something to say to him. Instead of just saying, "Thou sayest, Simon," he saw that maybe Simon would receive what it was he had to say. So he said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And Simon said, "Master, say on." May God help us this morning to have that mindset in our hearts and our lives. Lord, say on. You have something to say to me, Lord. Lord, tell me. Lord, would you show me? Lord, I understand that I need help. I don't want to get to the end of the way and have you say, "Rod, if you'd have just listened to me, I could have spared you from all of this trouble." Well, Jesus, in verses 3 through 5, we read where Jesus said not a word. At first he said, "Thou sayest." And now, it's like they went into a different gear. Now Jesus didn't say anything. His first response was to give Pilate a response that should have got his attention. I think it did get Pilate's attention. But the second response that Jesus Christ gave was so loud that the whole world has heard it for generations and generations. In the face of death, he said nothing. Said he spoke not a word. And for me this morning, I wonder, Lord, are there places in my own life where my conscience used to prick me, but it doesn't anymore? Even in areas that the Scriptures may outline clearly what your will is, but now the Lord's gone quiet on me because He sees that it doesn't matter enough to me what He has to say. And now I don't feel pricked in my conscience anymore. You know, there's a reason why the Scriptures teach. All through the Scriptures it says things like, take heed unto yourself and beware and be careful and be not deceived, lest at any time. The reason it says that is because this is how we can become deceived. Like this, when we don't respond to the truth that's been preached, when the Lord has been so faithful to open up the Word of the Lord to us, and yet time and again we turn and we go the other way, or we put our fingers in our ears, the Lord, out of respect to us and to our will back off. But do you know what's then sad and fearful to me is that people push the Lord away and push Him away, and then out of respect for that person, He backs off and doesn't say anything anymore. And then the people say, "I don't see what's wrong with it. I don't feel pricked in my conscience. I don't feel guilty about it." And the reason you don't feel guilty about it is because the Lord has backed off now. Not because it's like, okay, fine, you're on your own. That's not the kind of God He is. It's because we have made a decision, "Lord, that's not the way I want to go. And whatever it is you say, that's not the way that I want to direct my life." That's a dangerous place to be in this morning, folks. That's not where the Lord wants us to be. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." Yes. And if anybody, regardless of your background, if any man will hear my voice, I will open the door. I'll come into him. And I'll come down and I'll sit down at your table. And we can talk and have a discussion. We can sup together, the two of us. And you can show me the rooms in your house that are unpleasant and that you are ashamed of. And that you would rather not be changed, but at the same time you really don't want the Lord to see. If you'll let me come in, we can go in those rooms together and I'll show you a way out. I have a better way for you. But if the Lord's out there and He's knocking on the door of our hearts, and He knocks, and we're in there and we're consumed with all the other things of life in our own way, and all of a sudden the Lord sees us pull a pair of earplugs out and stick the earplugs in our ears so that we don't hear the knock at the door anymore. Because that's not the way we want to go. So we push it aside. "Well, that's probably not the Lord. We always have good reasons. Well, maybe later. I know that's what the Bible says, but I'm just not there yet. Maybe later we push you to the side. And the Lord's out there. No, please, I've got a better way for you. Let me help you with this thing. But if we get to the place where we pull a set of earplugs out and plug them in, because we don't want to hear the knock at the door, the Lord's going to respect that. He's going to stop knocking. I don't want that to happen with me. That's not the place that I want to be in. And it's a sad and fearful place then when people that have earplugs in their ears say, I don't hear the Lord knocking on my door about this, so everything must be okay. You know the thing about the Lord, though, that is so wonderful? He sits out there by the door, waiting for you to take the earplugs out so that he can jump up and knock again. See, maybe I can get their attention this time. Because the Lord loves us. The Lord doesn't want to have to go quiet on us. He doesn't want to have to say, thou sayest, because we've already made up our mind. He doesn't want to have to take the next step where we come to Him and pray about things, but then He says nothing. Because we ourselves are just saying words, but we have drawn back and away. The Lord paid a heavy, fearful, awful price.
That's right.
To have a beautiful relationship with you.
That's true.
In fact, He shed blood on the cross to reach those that put earplugs in their ears. You know, He could say, I tried. You didn't want to hear me? You put the earplugs in, you walked away, that's your decision, I'm done. But the Lord shed blood in a fearful manner so that He could come back and be there to try to continue to reach every lost heart. Whenever we give Him the opportunity. The Lord does not want to go quiet on us. And if you feel like the Lord has gone quiet on you this morning, if there's anybody here that feels like that you just don't, your conscience isn't pricked anymore, you don't feel conviction, you may know I'm living in a way that's outside of what the Bible is, but I don't feel convicted. Did you know there's still hope? If you'll come to the Lord and you'll bow down and you'll, Lord, I'm taking the earplugs out. Lord, please come knock on my heart's door. We serve a God whose will is that no one should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
That's right.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's the gospel message. That's the message of the gospel. I believe that Jesus looked on Pilate with love, wishing that he could say something to Pilate that would make a difference. Wishing that Pilate hadn't turned his heart so much the other way that the Lord knew he wouldn't be able to reach him. And the Lord wants to reach all of us today. We're still alive. We're still here. All of us are in the congregation this morning in the sanctuary. The Lord has blessed us for some reason to still be breathing air outside. And I believe He loves everybody that's here, and regardless of our background, regardless of what perhaps we've done in the past to push the Lord away, the Lord is once again knocking. And He wants us to go through life with our heart and our mind and our ears open. That yes, it may cross my personal, fleshly, temporal desires, and it may seem impossible, but the Lord is there to say, no, come unto me. Let
let me show you another way. Let me help bless you. Be encouraged this morning with that. May each one of us that are here, that in the closest areas of our life, that we would say, Master, say on. And that we would be willing and obedient to whatever it is that the Master says, knowing that He has your best interest at heart. May the Lord give us understanding in these things this morning. May God bless you is my prayer. Amen.